your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to a very special edition of Alchemy. Today, I'm joined by my good friends at Adweek, Toby Daniels, Chief Innovation Officer, and Terry Stanley, Senior Editor. Guys, it's awesome to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us, Jeff. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was really fun. The three of us got to jam together a little bit in a cannabis clubhouse. So I feel like we've already been part of the party, and now we're continuing the conversation. But, you know, for everybody who is tuning in right now, you know, Toby and I go back many years. Toby's been a pretty instrumental focus on the social media side, launching Social Media Week, and all around amazing thought leader. And, you know, Terry is an incredible writer, incredible journalist. And, you know, I think many of us in the space have been following Terry and reading all of her commentary. And you guys just, you know, put out a ton of great content. And, you know, I wanted to do this show today as kind of a little recap of last week with, you know, a little bit of holiday that people are celebrating, 420, right? And, you know, Terry, you had written a really great story, you know, as far as a lot of these non-cannabis brands that are really celebrating 420 and embracing cannabis. So I thought it may be a really fun way of kicking off the show today is, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you guys look at the cannabis space from an Adweek perspective.
Thank you for following my coverage, Jeff. I really
love it. I love your coverage.
I thank you so much. I am still recovering from 420.
And, that's a good thing.
Not because I partied. I did not party one single bit. I was too busy writing stories. One of the big roundups, as you mentioned, was the non-cannabis brands that have latched on to the holiday. We've done these stories in the past. At Adweek, they were very often focused on a social, you know, a social program that brands were doing. Those people that you would absolutely expect to be involved and to have something to say about 420, those would be, let's just call them the endemic categories for the purpose of our discussion, right? So that would be fast food, snacks, soda. You know, the smart ass sort of in the know kind of brands that you would expect to have something to say about 420, given their demographic, knowing their audience, understanding who they're speaking to. So that goes back quite a way. People took a break from that in 2020, not surprisingly, like advertisers took a break from a lot of things early in the pandemic. So. Sure. As brands sat out April Fool's Day 2020, not surprisingly, they also sat out 420 2020 because they did not want to appear to be insensitive to the situation. They didn't want to look like they were wasting their resources. I'm sure they didn't have any resources to throw at it at the time, way because they were contending with so many other things. So I was curious to see how they would kind of come roaring back this year. And they really did.
And in a big way.
They really did in some fun, innovative ways, I thought. And so I was expecting that we would see the usual suspects return. And they did. Of course, Denny's has something to say. Of course, they do. You know, of course they do.
Yeah.
And other brands that you would certainly expect fast, you know, in the fast food category and snacks and such. But I was impressed that there were brands that, you know, let's just say a Whole Foods grocery store brand that you would not really expect to have commentary on 420, but yet they did. And it was smart and fun and clever and lighthearted, but with enough of it an insider's wink that it really worked. I was really impressed. And, you know, I think you had asked me previously, Jeff, one of my favorite 420 activations from this year had to be Adidas and the Tally sneaker.
Yep.
As a big South Park fan, who doesn't love Tally? Everyone loves Tally. And the sneakers were just, I mean, that's killer. That's just
That was definitely very cool. Toby, was there any like specific campaign that you saw that was like, wow, one, I can't believe they did that. And two, that's really cool. Like any that stand out? I know you guys reported on a ton of brands, but maybe a few of your favorites, Toby.
Yeah, and I, before I jump in and share the specifics around which campaigns I thought were interesting, you know, I think it's also worth just kind of taking a little bit of a step back. I mean, as Terry was mentioning, 2020 was just like such a difficult time from a sort of a mass communication standpoint, particularly in regards to brands and, you know, brands, you know, needing to and necessarily having to take a sort of a step back from their sort of the day-to-day campaigns for obvious reasons. But 21 has been really interesting, and I know we're going to get to this and we'll dig into kind of this aspect of the conversation, but it sort of felt to me like we reached a new point from a maturation standpoint, because I think people were understandably more reflective this year, right? There's the fun and playful element of 420 that we all enjoy and like to celebrate, but the industry's maturing, and it's maturing past a point where it's necessary to have to make a joke or to bring levity to the conversation. Instead, we can actually have a more serious conversation around the way in which the industry is evolving, a more serious conversation around the businesses and brands and the products and services that are launching every single day that are just incredibly interesting for us to be looking at, observing, and writing about. And I also think, and as I say, I know we're going to get to this, but 420 2021 was very much kind of centered on the incarceration piece of the conversation as well. And I think that is so important. And I'm so grateful for the fact that, like, as an industry, we've sort of really organized around not just the fun and playful elements, but also around some of the kind of more serious things that need to be talked about and discussed. And 420 is just like a great platform and point in time in which we can do that. I mean, look, I always look for Ben and Jerry's to do something cool, and they never really sort of fail to disappoint. And Ben and Jerry's just like walk this beautiful fine line between being able to be fun and playful and unafraid of taking a risk, as well as also kind of like, you know, bundling their messaging with something that also feels important and purposeful and impact sort of driven. So I think the Ben and Jerry's, you know, multiple campaigns, I mean, they came out with a whole bunch of stuff on 420, as well as obviously messaging around the cannabis reform conversation. It was nice to see Impossible Foods get involved. Obviously these guys are leading the way from a sort of the plant-based, you know, sort of movement, and it makes sense for them to also play in kind of the 420 sandbox as well. So it was good to see what they came out with. H&R Block Canada, of course, you know, the Canadians really understand like how to step out into this space in a way that the US ultimately will always just like have to follow. But H&R Block came out with like cannabis and your taxes, which I thought was like a great headline. So yeah, there was a bunch. I think it was great.
So guys, obviously, you know, 2021 was a really very interesting year for cannabis, for legislation. You know, obviously here in New York, you know, New York is, you know, moving forward with legalization, New Jersey, and we're just seeing kind of like a domino effect of, you know, what's happening of more and more people wanting to utilize the plant and, you know, seeing this as a great thing. Curious from you guys and your standpoint, you know, how you're seeing maybe some of the traditional brands out there embracing this beyond 420. So I'm sure there's a lot of things that you know, traditional mainstream brands can really learn from cannabis marketers. Like, how do you guys, what's your thoughts around that?
Well, I mean, I think that obviously 420 is a point in time where we can all come together around something that is both important, to a certain extent, legislatively urgent, but also I think a point in time where we actually get a little bit of a read on how the industry is moving forward. And obviously this year, more so than any other year prior, more mainstream and consumer brands were sort of jumping on the 420 bandwagon, which is a jumping off point for many brands, particularly in terms of entering into a conversation that they might not have previously been part of. Right? They may not be involved in the business of cannabis, but they understand and recognize that if you want to be part of culture, and if you want to, as a brand, feel relevant to your consumers, then it's important to participate in and contribute to the conversations that matter. And that this is obviously one such example of a conversation that matters, much like, you know, civil rights, you know, conversations, much like the protests around George Floyd, much like, you know, the pandemic just in general, right? It's a bit of a tightrope for many brands, but if you're brave and bold, and you recognize that this is a cultural moment that we're experiencing and it's important to be part of it, then yeah, you know, figure out how you can participate, how you can contribute, right? How you can bring value. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that what I'm interested in, and honestly, Jeff, you're really the expert on this, given the work that you are doing. But, you know, what I'm interested in is looking at the businesses, the kind of consumer brands that are not only looking to just be part of a cultural conversation, but are now thinking about this in terms of products and thinking about this in terms of, like, you know, how they can bring cannabis to market. In regards to consumer products, that is going to help to extend their business at a time where young people in particular are looking at alternative ways to consume, alternative products. They're looking for alternative experiences. And if you are an Anheuser-Busch or any other kind of similar brand, if you're not in and invested and thinking about this today, then you are only going to become less relevant to your consumers in the future.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it's kind of an interesting signal too. I think in the, you know, beverage space, you know, with the pandemic this past year, you had a lot of people, you know, that generally we get together with friends and, you know, have a drink, you know, open a beer, have a cocktail. And, you know, what we saw was there was a really big shift happening at home because people weren't congregating together. And they were turning to, you know, plant-based products in the cannabis spectrum when it comes to edibles, or even pre-rolls and flower. And, you know, I think a lot of people who generally were drinking switched over because they also they were stressed out and they wanted to help themselves also sleep. So I think we saw a big shift in how consumers were actually spending on certain things when it comes to consuming beverage-based products and cannabis products. You know, I think one story that I think is really interesting is, you know, we actually work with Uber Eats, who's buying our data when it comes to cannabis transactions. So they want to get in front of a consumer who they know is transacting, whether it's, you know, any type of cannabis products, because, you know, Uber Eats, you get hungry, you get the munchies, and they want to tap into that crowd. So Terry, I'm curious from your, you know, viewpoint, one, what are your thoughts about that, you know, where you have a traditional brand out there that's really looking to dial into that traditional consumer who's actually buying, has nothing to do with whether they have cannabis products, but they just want to tap into that occasion to market to that customer.
I think a couple of things happened last year that cannot be oversold for their importance. One was in March when cannabis was declared an essential business, right up there with pharmacies and grocery stores. Massive tipping point.
Cannabis deemed essential.
Right.
It's like unreal.
Unmistakable and also the November elections, when we saw five states vote to legalize and in various ways, some just medical, some medical and rec. I think those two events in 2020 means for all of us, that's the signal. This is not a niche business anymore. This is mainstream. All the numbers support it. All the public polls support. There've never been so many polls that chart the overwhelming agreement of the American public that it should be legalized federally. People are in favor of it. This is a mainstream business now. This is not, you know, we're not using coded language. We're not talking about something that we're talking about a mainstream business and an industry that's growing and maturing. So, of course, brands in other categories are paying attention. Of course they are. So they're tracking it just as closely as we are, if not more so.
I mean, I was literally going to ask you guys, like, do you think cannabis is officially in the mainstream now? So you answered my question before I even had a chance to ask you. But do you guys think, you know, in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, you know, we're going to look back at, you know, today and in the past and go, wow, like, is it very similar to prohibition with, you know, alcohol and spirits? Or are we going to look back and go, how did we ever regulate or not even have, you know, how is cannabis illegal, right?
I don't know about that. I enjoy the conversation around prohibition. It's fun. It feels nostalgic. I do think it's important that we look back and learn from history. I also think that, like, we live in such a fundamentally different society. Right. So what are we really drawing from here? Like, what comparisons can we really make between what the world looked like during prohibition and then ultimately what it looked like post? I don't know. It's hard to tell, but I think it's true that we will look back and probably in a generation or so time feel that the fact that cannabis was illegal, you know, it is a kind of extraordinary fact that's almost impossible to believe. I think what is going to contribute to the narrative and be a much more interesting kind of aspect to the story, particularly given the world that we live in today, particularly how much value we put on entrepreneurialism and on innovation and on disruption and on change and transformation, I think we're going to focus more on what did this bring to the world that was positive and that really helped to change the fabric of society? Because that's much more interesting to me as a story than the sort of prohibition narrative, which wasn't necessarily either good during prohibition, and it wasn't necessarily a great, like, narrative in terms of, like, the impact on society post-prohibition. So I'm hoping, because of the fact that this is a product that permeates not just the recreational use of the plant, but permeates every single aspect of the consumer landscape with every product pretty much on the product planet that we can potentially consume at some point in the future could have these ingredients in it. And I think that's exciting. And that's the narrative that I want to get behind.
Totally. I mean, I think one thing that is, you know, really interesting coming out of, you know, a very difficult year, you know, with COVID and, you know, people losing their jobs and, you know, states and cities literally needing to fill the coffers, you know, is the tax revenue on all of the new states that are coming on board from a legalization perspective. So, you know, when you think about, you know, budgets and revenue and job creation, that's a whole nother category that we haven't even seen yet. You know, obviously, Illinois, Michigan, California, Colorado, we've seen that, you know, happening more and more. But now with New York and New Jersey in particular, like, these are very populated areas. It'll be interesting to see how things do play out, right? I think just the last year alone, just even my conversations with family and friends, like there's still a little bit of stigma, but I almost feel like the stigma has somewhat evaporated when, you know, when it comes to cannabis. Like before it was like, yeah, don't really talk about that at work. And then now people are talking about it like it's, you know, it's just like having a beer. So I think that's a very big step, huge step.
Well, Jeff, if the NFL is no longer right. testing for cannabis, then we're in a different conversation now.
It's 100%. Like, I feel like there's been such a shift in such a profound way. It's great to see. I think also, you know, a lot of people, I think the stigma around cannabis too is like, oh, this guy's a stoner. That's not the case, right? You have people who are, you know, utilizing cannabis in so many different ways, whether it's for stress, whether it's for sleep, whether it's for anxiety and relaxation. And then you have the whole CBD spectrum, right? You have people taking CBD for muscle recovery, taking it to, you know, calm down, taking it for holistic health and healing. You know, I think even, you know, someone like my mom, who would never in a million years touch cannabis, she loves taking CBD products now. And she recently had, you know, her hip replaced, and I was taking care of her in the city. And I'm like, Mom, take one of these gummies. It'll help you sleep better and, you know, help with the pain. And she loved it. You know, for that, she wouldn't take it normally just to take it. But for that, you know, use case, I think that's an amazing opportunity for a lot of people to try, you know.
When you look at the industry, you can look at on, the, say, the dispensary level, packaging, branding, product identities, everything looks very different than it did even just a few years ago. So the real estate even is sophisticated. It's elevated. It's a very different, much more inviting environment for people who are not, we'll call them newbies, the kind of curious. So yeah, it's definitely, it's changing. It's much more inviting in that way, which opens it up to kind of a brand new audience, brand new demos, older folks, rural folks, you know, people who thought they didn't see anything in that industry that spoke to them before, but now they
totally. Will. And you know what I find very interesting too, Terry, is that we have obviously all of these celebrities that are now involved heavily in the cannabis space, right? You've got Seth Rogen, you've got Mike Tyson, you've got Martha Stewart, you know, you've got all these folks who are kind of putting their face into a product and making that even more mainstream.
Yeah, but a bunch of stoners.
And various levels, and you know, various levels of involvement, various levels of financial investment, various amounts of skin in the game, shall we say. Some of these I expect to survive and thrive, others not so much.
Well said.
Terry, when was the first time you covered anything in the cannabis space when it comes to Ad Week?
Oh my gosh. I can't even remember. I'm here in Southern California, so it made perfect sense for me to start covering that. And it was really something that happened, air quote, organically. It was something that I was interested in. And so I picked up the beat and just really started burrowing into it. And Adweek has been incredibly supportive. And because I filter everything through the Adweek lens, as you guys well know, there is so much going on. There is so much to cover. There's so much news. As you pointed out, we can't go a week without another state making noise about potentially legalizing. So there's tons of news out there. I couldn't possibly cover it all. It's not my only beat, but I have to cherry pick and very much look at things through the Adweek lens. I love to cover trends. They always need to have some kind of grounding in advertising and marketing. And I think to your point earlier, Jeff, about what other categories can learn, you know, by highlighting what cannabis is doing right and what they're being sort of clever and insightful about doing, we think that that does inform other categories and people can, you know, have their own takeaways from that.
I have a question for you, Terry, to build on Jeff's question. Given how long you've been writing about it, have there been particular like inflection points from an engagement and traffic and article page view standpoint that you observe that you think has been kind of like, I don't know, indicative of like the space kind of moving forward a step or two?
That's a good question. And lockdown changed everything. That's the answer. Lockdown changed everything. People were paying a lot more attention to this kind of news. And that's when I really stepped it up, really stepped up the coverage. There was plenty for us to really, there were great ad week ways in, I'll put it that way.
Terry, have you seen as we're talking about obviously the cannabis space, but there's kind of the next store, next step in the psychedelic space. There's been a lot of chatter, a lot of attention with psilocybin, microdosing, traumatic brain injuries, depression, all of these clinical trials going into products and, you know, almost pharmaceuticals, if you will. Have you seen any uptick on that side of the business as well?
For sure. And actually a very good Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel piece on it not long ago. I've written about it a few times so far, pegged to legislation, as I'm sure you know, what happened in Oregon. So decriminalization is big. That, and I intend in probably a month to revisit because we have a clash of our of a couple of my favorite current subjects, celebrities and mushrooms. So the there is the first celebrity branded psilocybin will be coming out pretty soon. It's branded to Bob Marley. And I'm going to get a look at that to see what that brand looks like, you know, how it comes together. And I'm absolutely fascinated by that. I think it sounds kind of fringe at the moment, but it's probably important to make the distinction that this is much more on the medical side. And this is not intended, at, certainly at this point, as a kind of a recreational substance. So that's probably an important distinction to make. The Marley line will also include a whole section of a bunch of products that are more like adaptogens and non-psychotropic, shall we say. But yeah, I'm fascinated by that area and I'll have to get myself to one of those retreats in Jamaica.
I'll be coming with you.
Yeah.
So guys, this was really awesome and super informative. And again, I really love all the focus that you guys are putting on the space. And, you know, I think it'll be very interesting doing a recap next 420 and seeing if we see double the amount of brands, you know, taking part next year. But I think it would be great to have you guys maybe even come back on the show 6 months from now as we see even more states come on board from a legislation perspective and talk about the progress. So I really appreciate you guys coming on.
Definitely. And let's make Cannabis Marketing Week happen. Right, Terry?
Sure. We did one event. We did one event at Adweek already in the summer of last year, in July of last year. And we had a really nice lineup of speakers. And yeah, that was the first cannabis-focused event we'd ever done. So I'm up for it. Let's do another one.
All right, guys. Well, listen, have a great rest of your day. And again, really appreciate you guys coming on. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.